Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
What the Lord put on my heart tonight is a message called Cultivating Spiritual Hunger. And when you cultivate, you prepare the soil for growth. So you put the nutrients in it, sometimes you fertilize, you get the dirt ready for growth. And the hunger, the definition of hunger, is a craving or urgent need for food or a specific nutrient. Or it's also an uneasy sensation occasioned by the lack of food. It's also a weakened condition brought about by a prolonged lack of food. It's also a strong desire brought about in our bodies for their need for food and nutrition. In Matthew 5:6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." In other versions, it says, "They will be satisfied." So blessed are those. So you're blessed if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. In Luke 6:21, it says, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." Righteousness in the dictionary, in Nelson's Bible Dictionary, I always go there first, then I like to go to Webster's. In the Nelson's Bible Dictionary, it says, "Holy and upright living is righteousness, according with God's standards." And it's from the root word, straightness. So righteousness is holy and upright living, and living is straightness before the Lord. At Webster's, it says, "Acting in a just, upright manner, doing what is morally right, fair, and just." So a little bit of difference from the Webster's and the Bible Dictionary. But I want us to make a connection today, so I'm going to talk about a hunger in the natural and with a spiritual hunger. So we're going to make that connection, a correlation, and then look at the difference. Psalm 34:8a says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." To taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, sometimes people are cooking, they say, "Taste this." And we already think it smells nasty, so we don't want to taste it, you know. Or if it smells really good, we can't wait to taste it. "Yeah, I'll taste that, man. That smells really good." So it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste and see that the Lord is good. So what have you tasted of the things of God? And do you want more? Do you want more? More than just a taste. Are you satisfied? Or do you? Or have you had your fill? You know what? I've done that Jesus thing. You know, I've done that stuff. And, you know, I'm over it now. You know, or just, I kind of did that thing, you know, but there's not much more to it. And I'm satisfied. And I'm just going to go this far and that's it. So do we taste and see that the Lord is good, and do we want more? Are you satisfied in the Lord? Are you hungering for more? Do you want more of him? Have you experienced his power? And you're like, you know what? I want more of that. I don't want to be satisfied. I was a Christian for probably about 10 years, and all of a sudden I started seeing all these people around me in services getting slain in the spirit. And I was like, okay, Lord, I don't get that. I'm not sure. If that's of you, I want it. But if it's, you know, I would see some people and I thought that was pretty emotional. And then I would see other people and I would just see the Lord knock them out and the catchers would miss them. And they'd be like, oh no, we dropped another one. You know, and so you can't fake that. If somebody goes out that quick and a catcher misses them, you don't fake that. So I'm like watching this thing and I started praying. I said, Lord, I want to experience that. As if it's from you, I want that. I want that. I want the sudden power of God to just hit me. Gosh, I want that. So I kept praying it. And then it was around the time of the Brownsville revival in the 90s. And there was a couple of the guys who were there came over to like the Valpo area to a church. And so a bunch of us from a church I was pastoring time, we all drove on down there. And so I'm watching all these people going out in the spirit. My wife's next to me. And this and evangelist from the Brownsville thing comes up. And all he says is this your wife? And boom, she's out. And he prays for me for minutes and nothing happens. I'm like, what is going on? I don't get this. So around that time, the church I was pastoring said, hey, we want to send you down to the revival. So we went down to Florida. And the first night you're there, and the whole church was packed. It was crazy. And they give you a sticker for your pastor and they let you sit in a certain place. And so closer up front, I thought that was pretty cool. And there came a time that the head evangelist wanted to pray for all the pastors. So he called all the pastors down. And I said, cool. And we were clear on one side, and he was clear on the other side. And I'm listening to this song, and I looked, and he was way on the other side. It would take 30 seconds in an empty church for him to walk all the way to us. And all of a sudden, I felt open my eyes. And it was only like 5 seconds since I looked, and he was clear on the other side. That's what it seemed like. And he just goes like this to us. He goes, "Pastors, receive a fresh anointing." And he goes like this, and he never touches us. And my prayer was, "Lord, if you're going to do that, I want no emotion in it. I want to know it's you." When he did that, we flew back, and we hit our shoulders, and we skid on the ground about 5 feet and laid there for 45 minutes. So be careful what you pray for. So if you really want the power of God to zap you, and I got up, and I was like, and you know, the amazing thing, the Holy Spirit gave me so much strategy about pastoring and so many things. He spoke to me for 45 minutes straight, and I remembered every bit of it when I got up and wrote it all out. It was an absolute amazing encounter. And so I wanted more. So I never doubted, and I never looked at the emotion of it, and I just said, "Lord, if you're going to do that, then just come with your power and prepare your people to receive your power and to be in that moment." So physical hunger is a funny thing. At times we get so hungry, but yet we're craving for one thing, right? Nothing else will satisfy. And we'll eat stuff and this and that, but if we don't get that craving, then we're still kind of hungry. You know, it's like we don't get satisfied. And then there's time when hunger pangs come in and they kick in if we haven't eaten in a long time. And our bodies can begin to have physical symptoms if we haven't eaten. We can get nausea, lightheaded, dizziness. We can become irritable if we haven't eaten in a long time. Things start to happen. True hunger causes some to do some extreme things. You know, desperate people take desperate measures. Some resort to stealing. And many people have many testimonies of people dumpster diving at restaurants just to survive, go into dumpsters and try to get something to eat and hope that they threw out something halfway decent. Some take advantage of innocent people. And, you know, it's really hard that we'll work for food and then people who are hungry. It's always, when I see people out with signs, I just ask the Lord, is this legitimate, Lord? Do they have a real need? Or is this a scam? Are they trying to get over on somebody? Or do they have a real need? Because I hate to drive by somebody if they're really desperate. But sometimes they take advantage of innocent people. Sometimes they rob people. They break into homes and businesses so that they can eat. In Proverbs 30, verse 7 through 9, it says, "Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much, disown you, and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of the Lord." I've always loved that passage because it's like, Lord, just give me enough to be content and to honor you and to honor those around me and honor my relationships. Because if you give me too much, I might forget about you. I might, you know, thank you very much, Lord, and go on our own way. And if we don't have enough, we don't want to steal or do things that are dishonest and bring dishonor to his name. If we do stuff in the name as we're Christians and we do stuff that's not right, then we bring dishonor to his name. So I've always loved that verse. In Proverbs 6:30, it says, "Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving." So there's times when do we have grace for that person, you know, if they do that. And some people, hunger and starving, take on a life of their own. Years back, my dad was a food production manager at the place where he worked, and they worked hand-in-hand with the homeless shelter, and they had this huge banquet, and they were taking stuff to the homeless shelter. They had roast beef, mashed potatoes, just incredible food they were taking, and they're unloading it, and this one of the homeless guys comes up to my dad, and he says, "Hey, mister, what kind of blankety blank 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 garbage you got for us today?" And my dad grew up in Poland, and he was taken by the Germans and all this stuff, and there was many days my dad talked about not eating for days and days. So he knew what it was to be hungry. He said he just had to remember he was working for someone. He just said to the guy, he said, "You're not hungry." He says, "You can't possibly be hungry." He said, "If you were really, really hungry, you would be grateful for anything you get that is of any substance." He says, "You are not hungry." So I never forgot that. So here was a guy just being disrespectful of those who were giving him really good high-end food. And so that really bothered my dad. Nehemiah 9:15, Nehemiah here is referring to the Israelites. He says, in their hunger, you gave them bread from heaven, and in their thirst, you brought them water from the rock. You told them to go in and take possession of the land that you had sworn with your uplifted hand to give them, but they, our forefathers, became arrogant and stiff-necked and did not obey your commands. You know, when you really think about manna, it's absolutely amazing that the Lord gave them provision, supernatural provision. I'm sure they got tired of it, and they did, because the word tells us they were grumbling, they were complaining, you know, hey, honey, what's for dinner? Manna burgers tonight, honey. You know, what's for breakfast? Scrambled manna, you know, so it's, you know, but it was one of those things where if we really think about it, supernatural provision, that every day they came out and it was there and they couldn't keep it for 2 days or it would spoil. That God loved them so much that he knew that they would be hungry and he didn't want them to go hungry. So rather have them go hunt or do whatever and get food, he provided the food for them supernaturally. And that's absolutely amazing. And then when Moses hit the rock and the water came out, that was amazing. But here they became arrogant and stiff-necked and didn't obey his commands. But you know, if you have supernatural provision in your life, if you're praying about something and this check comes from nowhere, or somebody comes and gives you something, some money or something, or just provides a car or something for you, I've had incredible supernatural provision, things that maybe I've asked for or just contending for and then not expecting for the answer to come a certain way. It's just been absolutely amazing to see how the Lord, you know, we have blessing lists, and lately I've been on my calendar. You know what that empty square is for on your calendar, the empty ones? That's to fill in with your blessings for each month. That's what those are for. So I challenge you to just think about the blessings, you know, and sometimes blessings don't just come in monetary things, you know, a timely phone call or an encouragement for someone, you know. So ask the Lord, what is your definition of blessing? And write that down and write on your calendar. And at the end of the month, look back and see, my goodness, look at all the blessing that I've had this month. You know, so supernatural provision is an amazing thing. So God is the God of supernatural provision. He started it with the Israelites. He did it back then. You know, how many times you hear stories about somebody's grandma who they had no food, you know, and grandma's praying. You know, I've heard these stories from old preachers. Grandma's praying. They're like, grandma, she's thanking the Lord for the food. They're like, grandma, we got no food. And by the time she's done praying, someone knocks at the door and somebody in the church came and brought a meal. I've heard that time over and over again. So people in faith have prayed a blessing over a meal that they do not have, and God has someone knock at the door and provide that food for them. So he is a God of the supernatural provision. That's part of his nature. That's part of who he is. He will always be a God of supernatural provision. That's part of his character. That's part of what makes him God, is that he sees our need and he supernaturally provides for it. It's an absolute amazing thing. And so in Philippians 4, 12 and 13, We always use Philippians 4:13, where we say, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And we put that on bumper stickers, and we put that against everything. We do that with everything. We take that verse out of context. It's an amazing verse standing all on its own. But if you look at it in context at 12, it's about contentment. It's the culmination of Paul teaching us about contentment. He says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So that verse is at the end of him talking about being content. So here's the deal. In the natural culture, we must do everything to keep us and our families from being hungry. It drives us. You know, we're always thinking, do we got to get this from the store, do this? What do we have for supper? Are we going to run out of this, run out of that? So it drives us to not be hungry. And but in the kingdom culture, we must do everything to stay hungry. It's completely opposite. I love the upside down kingdom. We must do everything to stay hungry for the Lord. How hungry are you for the things of God? Do you stay hungry for him? In John 6:35, as Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Jesus is our contentment. Do we fill up on Jesus? Do we spend that time with him? Do we worship him? Do we have that intimate time with him? Do we fill ourselves up on Jesus? Because he says, if you do, you're not going to be hungry. You're not going to be thirsty. You're going to be content. So once again, back in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those of you who hunger now, you will be satisfied. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Friends of mine love to do, go out and do treasure hunts and different things like John and our team do. And there was a couple young people and they were at a festival. And they wanted young people to experience God. And these guys are like in their young 20s. So they went, and there was two young kids, like boys like 12, 13 years old. And they said, hey, do you want to meet God? They're like, well, I don't know. They said, you know, you can experience God right now. How about if I pray for you and let's see what God will do? They're like, okay. So they started praying for him. One kid starts laughing hysterically and the other one starts crying. He's crying uncontrollably. This guy's laughing uncontrollably. They're looking at each other and they can't figure it out. And then the kid who's laughing, he sees angels. And this other kid starts seeing stuff in the supernatural. They're like completely freaked out. And you guys are freaking us out right now. So they pray for him. They spend some time with them. And these two kids take off. In a little while, they come back up to him. They're like, hey, can we hang out with you guys? Can we just kind of like hang out with you guys? You know? So here's two kids who knew nothing about the Lord. They're crying and they're laughing in the spirit. They're seeing angels, all this stuff, just because two guys bothered to go and pray with them. And so it just, it's absolutely amazing to me to see, you know, that we can do those kind of things, that we can So they tasted of the Lord. They had a little bit of a taste. They saw angels and they laughed and they didn't know why they were laughing, crying, didn't know why they were crying. And they tasted a little bit of the presence of the Lord and they wanted more. Hey, can we come hang out with you guys? Like they're the connection to God. So they tasted a little bit of God. And so what's going to happen later? And then one of the young men had a thought that he prayed earlier and he saw a young man on a green bike. And so then all day long, they're looking for this guy on a green bike, and no green bike, no young man on a green bike. They're walking out. They're going across the bridge to go home, and here comes the kid on the green bike. They're like, hey, they chase him down, you know? They chase him down. And he also felt like there was something wrong with this guy's knee. And this guy had been a Christian, and he kind of wasn't where he should be with the Lord. So they tracked him down, and they told him why they were hunting him down and kind of told him what they were doing. And can we pray for you? And they said, hey, do you have a messed up knee? He said, oh, man, yeah, I messed it up last week or last year. I wiped out on my bike, and he messed up his knee. And so they prayed for him. His knee got healed, and they prayed for him, and the Lord showed up in all kinds of different ways. And so here was just an encounter that they had. So here's another guy who should be walking closer with the Lord, and he gets another taste of the Lord. And he knew what he needed to do to get back right with the Lord. And so here was this this thing with that it did, just going out there, giving out tastes of the Lord. That's what we do as Christians. You know, when we pray for somebody randomly, when we go out there and anybody in our family or anything that we do representing the Lord, we are giving people a taste of the Lord. And do they take that taste and what do they do with it? Do they want more? Do they want more with it? So are you hungry and more hungry for the things of the Lord? Or have you become complacent? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Is that your prayer, Lord, make me holy? Because if you say, Lord, make me holy, guess what? He loves to make you holy. But there's a process to holiness. And if there's edges and stuff in your life that's not holy and not of him, that's where he loves to target. You know, those who, I tell young people, if I counsel young people who are getting married, I tell them that your husband or your wife are going to be the greatest gift that you'll ever have. Because you will trigger each other like nobody else will. And you will get more healing from triggering each other than any other place that you will. So welcome to marriage. Say I do. So, but there's four things here. So do you stay hungry? Do you stay hungry? This is kingdom hunger. Don't be satisfied. Don't be satisfied. Do you want more of God? Do you want more of God in his gifts? Do you want more of experiencing him? Do you want more of his power in your life? Do you want more? Don't be complacent. You know, complacent is when you just get to a point and that's it. You stop growing, you know. Do you dare to ask the Lord, make me hungry? Make me more hungry for you, God. Is that a prayer of yours? Make me hungry, God. Because it says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled. But do we ask the Lord, make me hungry? Lord, I want to be more hungry for you. Give me a supernatural hunger for you that nothing satisfies but you. But when we ask that, it's never for our own gain. It's always to serve the Lord better and for to be more intimate with him. So what are you asking for? What do you want to see the Lord do? Fill in the blank. I want to see the Lord. What do you want to see? Do you want to, you know, when we had Revive Indiana here, man, that was exciting. There was a lot of stuff happening. Churches coming together, worship leaders playing together, pastors doing stuff together. It was an amazing thing. And it was an answer to prayer to so many people for so many years of bringing the church together. You know, so what are you asking for? Are you asking for revival? Are you asking for miracles? What about in your family? Is everybody saved? Everybody's all good? Are we asking for salvations in our family? What are we asking for? What are we asking the Lord for? Do we want more and more of him? To not be content, Lord, I want to see you do this. I want to see the Lord show up to the Muslims on the Temple Mount. That's what I want to see. I want to see in the middle of their service, Jesus, they experience Jesus. And that whole thing be converted because Jesus showed up. That's what I want to see. I want to see land of Israel. You know, I was grateful to be there in 2007. And just, it was so amazing. But it was such a hard place. They live with such expectancy of all the borders, all the countries hate them. And anything can happen at any moment to them. And they live that way. And so but I want to see the Lord show up. I want to see them just really experience Jesus. When I was there, I was at the Garden of Gethsemane, and here's these old olive trees, and I was like undone. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to know here? What do you want me to do with this? He said, my people Israel, they know the historical Jesus. They know who I was. They're selling statues about me, but they don't know who I am. I am that I am. They don't know the I am Jesus. And so that's been my prayer. Lord, would you open the eyes of Israel and let them see you? You know, what do you want to see? Fill in that blank. I want to see God do this. You know, I want to see God perform miracles. I want to see God come in a powerful way. I want to see the Lord visit the White House and the Capitol and all that stuff. I just want to see the Lord do amazing things. Do you ever ask God to be a part of raising the dead? Do you ever say, Lord, I want to be a part of that? Smith Wigglesworth, you know the crazy evangelist guy back in the day? Do you know his wife died 3 times, and he prayed, and she came back. The third time, she said, Smith, would you let me rest? I can't even wrap my mind around that. You know, she's like, Smith, stop it. Let me rest. And so he had to like pray and make sure she was okay, and she went back to where she was supposed to be. But he had what guts? And he had the faith to believe that when he prayed for that person, that was going to happen, that would happen. And so I can't even imagine 3 times. 1 time is enough, but after the third time, you know, she's probably like, Smith, you know, what is, you're in timeout. You know, it's just absolutely amazing. It floors me. So I was in a season where there was people around me dying. I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do about that? Is there anything you want me to do about that? If you want me to go pray for them, I'll go pray for them. I heard a story of a pastor, I forget, he was in a big city. He's banned from the morgue of his hospital because they would always catch him in there praying for the dead. Now, is that the best reason to get kicked out of a hospital or what? Yeah, pastor's in the morgue again. Get him out of there. Security in the morgue. Pastor's in the morgue trying to raise the dead. I mean, like, man, that's really awesome. So I was praying about that one time, and just, you know, and a good friend of mine was praying about it too, and the Lord had him go with a couple people, and, you know, and he had a really hard one. A friend of his got burned in an electrical accident. He was unrecognizable. And the Lord said, go pray for him, and that was really hard for him, but he did, and nothing happened. But, you know, obedience is up to us. the manifestation of that obedience is up to the Lord. So I was praying about that one time, and I'm at my gym, and I'm talking to this guy for a while, and he had lost like 80 pounds in 6 months. He looked great, man. I was like, man, that's a lot of weight in a short amount of time, though. But he said he needed to do it for various reasons and stuff, and he was just going for it. And about 5 minutes later, I was in a whirlpool, and I just happened to see him on my peripheral vision. He fell over, and he was getting in the shower, and he just like, boom, hit his head and ran over there and threw a towel over him. And he must have already been in trouble because he was pretty blue. He was about as blue as your shirt. And I was like, uh-oh. So I'm thinking, do I pray or do I do chest compressions or do I do both? You know, and I just said his name and I just began to command. And I said, Lord, if you are not done with him, I just say, life, come back into him in the name of Jesus. And I just started declaring it and proclaiming it. And I didn't realize by this time, like three of the managers are behind me, you know, and all these other guys are behind me. And then I went to do chest compressions, and he coughed, and he turned over, and then color came back to him. And I didn't realize what a stir that had caused until a little bit after that. So they called the paramedics and everything, and all his vitals were fine. He refused treatment. And so I didn't realize that it caused a stir until I was walking out, and those three instructors, they kind of went like this away from me, like, they went like this. I go, what's up? I don't know, man, that was pretty freaky. He was like Smurf blue, you know, and they're like, man, I don't know. They said, you freaked me out. I said, you should put that in your brochure, you know, that if there's a defibrillator over there, but if somebody dies, we could just raise them from the dead. We could pray for them. They're like, no, man. I said, you could put it right underneath the baptisms. I said, I baptized three guys. You're, oh, man, you are like crazy. You did what? So kind of freaked out the instructors. They were like avoiding me for a while. But there was one of them that I was really ministering to, and he was this close to coming to the Lord. And then that happened. And a week later, he got a different job. So I really don't ever know what happened to him. But I saw that guy time and time again after that, and he looked fine. So I don't really know that I know that I know, but all those guys were saying, he was Smurf blue, he was dead. I don't really know. I just know that he didn't look good, and when I prayed and declared over him, he coughed and came back and started breathing again. So I don't really know for sure. But after on the way home, I was like, wow, Lord, what just happened there? But, you know, so you see, you think sometimes you're having this dialogue with the Lord and you're praying about something and you're asking, Lord, I want to see that. Unfasten your seatbelt, because be ready. Be ready to jump if the Lord's going to do that. If we fasten our seatbelts, we're saying, I don't know, Lord, I'm going to stay here in this safe place. You know, just if you're praying about raising the dead, then maybe you should go to the morgue, you know. We got plenty of hospitals in the region. But, you know, so what is the Lord making you hungry for? What do you want to see more of? What are you after? Say, God, I want to see this. You know, when I was a young Christian, I was praying about, I saw that verse that said in 1 Corinthians 12:31, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. So I said, oh, cool. I want to start with tongues. I started studying tongues. I want that. The Lord set me up in this crazy story and this friend from high school and all this stuff, and I got the gift of tongues, and I've been on the blessing side of being three times on the phone with people who got the gift of tongues. Explained it to them, let's pray. And all of a sudden, they get the gift of tongues while they're on the phone. I said, I'm going to let you go. I'll call you tomorrow. And then as a young Christian, the Lord said, I'm calling you to be an intercessor. I had to look it up in a dictionary. I didn't know what it was. I was like, what's that? Is that going to be a good thing? And so the Lord began to have me pray for various things. And it's an amazing thing to see your prayers answered. And sometimes when your prayers are answered instantaneously, it's absolutely an amazing thing. And so the Lord called me to be an intercessor, and I love leading our intercessors in the house of prayer. It's an absolute one of my joys of my life to be able to do that. And the things that we're able to do, our motto is Watchman Intercessors is, and we get to our meeting, we never know where we're going to go, but we always like where we got, because the Holy Spirit leads us, and we're always amazed by where he takes us. And it's been an amazing thing. You know, and the Lord, one day he had me put my hands on. He said, I give you a gift of healing. So through the years, I've seen different things. I've seen different people get healed for different things, but yet I see people not healed. God is so sovereign in that. It's an absolute amazing thing. And so recently I went to a trip to New York and celebrate my 60th birthday with my kids, and I went to minister at a friend of mine's church. They're from India, and they're Christians. And they have a home meeting, and I went there. During the worship, I had a word of knowledge that one person hurt their back at work, and another person had a botched back surgery. And so I, right in the middle of worship, I said, hey, I got a word of knowledge. And the owner of the house stepped up, and he said, I'm the one who got hurt at work. And another gal said, I'm the one who had a botched, 6 months ago I had a back surgery, and nothing got better. And I said, well, let's pray. And everybody gathered around and prayed, and they both got healed. And then all of a sudden, this person says, I need my eye prayed for, and I mean my leg prayed for. And it just turned into this amazing healing service. And didn't expect that, but it started with just the Lord saying that. You know, so what are you expecting God to do? Are you expecting him to use your gifts? He's given you your gifts, and do you just put them on a shelf and say, or do you have a badge that says, I have the gift of healing? Cool. Or do you say, God, use me wherever I'm at. Wherever I'm at in this mall, anywhere I'm at, Lord, will you use my gifts? How available are you to God? And are you hungry enough to be available to him 24/7? God, use me. Wherever you want to use me, God, use me. I am that hungry for you, God. I want to encounter you as you use me for your kingdom, for the furthering and the bettering of your kingdom, God. So then there's prophecy. I remember before I was a Christian, I'd watch television, I'd hear those guys, God said, that would irritate me. Before I was a Christian, what? How did that person hear God? God told me to do this and that, and be like, whatever, turn the channel. I was like, oh, this guy's driving me crazy. You know, but then I was on a quest to hear the voice of God, right? I wanted to hear God. So I want to hear his voice. I want to hear God, and I want to be used of God. And so I was pastoring a church, and we were about a 40, 50-person church, and I was in the season of studying prophecy. My wife had already been in the flow in it. She was studying it, went to some conferences. So I'm figuring it out, you know. I'm studying the prophets, and I'm figuring this prophecy thing out, but I'm in study, right? Don't use me yet, God, because I'm not really quite studied up, you know. So I'm pastoring this church, right? And I had a friend, he would come and minister in music every once in a while, and he was one of those crazy prophetic guys. He's in the middle of worship, and he stops. He comes over to me, he goes, I think we're supposed to prophesy over the church today. You take that side, and I'll take this side. And I said, I've not done that before. He goes, well, it's a good day to start. I said, what do you do? He goes, just wait for God, just to hear God, and just tell him what God's saying about them. Okay. So I didn't know any protocol. I didn't know any of that stuff. And I was like, and I'm pastoring the church, and I'm like, okay, hey, this is what I think we're going to do today. So Rob's feeling the spirit of prophecy come on, so we're just going to pray for you and see what the Lord says for you. I'll take this side, he's going to take that side. Let's go for it. It was a glorious moment, and what it did was it stirred a hunger in me for more. It stirred a hunger in the people for more. It stirred up so much. I was like, gosh, I couldn't believe that God cared about his people that way and the things that he said for them. And some of them were freaked out. They didn't kind of know. But then all of a sudden, more and more were coming. And it was just, it was an amazing thing. God showed up in a day. And so if you think that you have to be studied enough to use your gift that God has given you, I didn't know that he gave me the gift of prophecy. I was just studying it. And then there it was. It showed up. And from there, it goes on. And so I'm just hungry for more. I want to know more. Lately, I've been watching this prophetic wild man, Sean Bowles, and I don't recommend that you watch his videos while you're treadmilling. It's dangerous. But he's really challenging the body of Christ in words of knowledge. And so like a couple months ago, I challenged a prophetic team as we were going into ministry, hey, don't be afraid of a word of knowledge today. And I think it was Elise that had a couple, or she had like a few words of knowledge, because she flows in the gift of healing and started a healing ministry in her church in Stevensville. And so she has words of knowledge for three people, and they get healed during a healing service, but they got healed in the prophetic rooms because someone stepped out with a word of knowledge about someone needed healing. And so Brad was working with her, and he was like, man, that was crazy, man. She's got an amazing gift of healing. And so so lately I've been asking the Lord, I'm hungry for that. You know, and this guy, he knows social security numbers, birthdays, all these different things. He knows addresses and stuff. He'll come to a conference and he writes a bunch of stuff down. And he'll say, what does 125 something street mean to somebody? Oh, that's my address. And then he'll know their kids' names and their grandma's names and all this stuff. And then the latest one, I was told about one where when he was at Bethel, Reading, he wrote some stuff down, and it was in another language. He didn't know what it was. So for 2 months, he's going to these conferences and says, does this mean anything to anybody? So they would always have African contingencies. So he asked these Africans to come up and read. And there's so many different African languages. And person after person said, no. And then finally one guy says, yeah. He said, this says a trumpet on a hill. And he goes, I don't know what these two words are. But then when he said that, this lady screamed. And she said, wait a minute, there's an African pastor who just went out for coffee. That's the name of his church in Africa. He said, go get him. So they went and got him. He came up. And those two other words were his wife and his daughter's name. And then there was a whole bunch of other stuff that he knew about this guy, and it was a really rare, very small dialect in Africa. So he wrote out a word of knowledge in the African language, and it was true to form. Finally found the person that it connected with. Can you imagine what that did for that guy or what it did for that body that was there? You know, and so that's what I'm hungry for, because that's like a different level of hearing God. That's like fine-tuning into God to hear him in such a way, but it's so risky. It's so risky, and it's so scary, but it's so God. You know, you cannot deny it when he knows their address, their social security number. And he had one person's phone number, social security, and address. He goes, God is watching you. You know, so he was like right on the money. But so it's stirring that in me. It's stirring a different level of hunger in me. I've been walking in the prophetic for many years now, but that is stirring a different level of hunger. And I want that. I want that. And I won't be satisfied until I walk in it and I hear God in a greater way, because I'm hungry for that and I want to know that. So are you hungry? How hungry are you to hear God? Do you tune into him? How hungry are you? Say, God, I want to hear you. I want to hear you more. And I won't be satisfied till I hear you more, God. I want to hear you in the night. I want to hear you in the day. When it's busy and there's all kinds of people around me, God, I want to hear you. I want to lock into your voice, God. Are you hungry? How hungry are you? I was supernaturally healed of a lung disease when I had my salvation experience. There was no elders. There was no anointing oil. I was on a quest to hear God's voice, and he said, I healed you. And I was sick for months, and I was healed. And so I've been on a quest. I love, as an intercessor, I have lists of people who need healing. But I don't want a list of people who need healing. I want to tear up that list because they've been healed, right? I want to tear up that list because they've been healed. I want to see supernatural healings and miracles. I want to be one of those guys who wheels the wheelchair away from somebody because they no longer need it. I want to throw their crutches away. I want to see that stuff, and I won't be satisfied till I see it. I want to see it with my own eyes. You know, in the last few days, it's been crazy with people in need of healing. Deanna needs healing. My wife needs healing. Amy and others. Londa gets a little surgery on her feet, and all of a sudden, her nerves are going crazy, and she's got excruciating pain. Dave Raymer's got this wild cough that the doctors don't know what to do with. You know, and there's heart issues right in this room. There's other stuff. Somebody that we know, a friend of our ministry, had a seizure today at work, and it knocked them out. And there, people are at the hospital trying to see what's going on with her. There's just all kinds of stuff going on. So I want to do this. If you're in need of healing, lift up one hand. And if somebody else in your family or somebody you love, lift up both hands. And I'm just going to pray for healing because I want to see God heal people. So if you're in need of healing yourself, one hand. If somebody in your family or somebody you're contending for, you want to see healing, lift up both hands. So Lord Jesus, we just come to you, Lord. We want to see healing. God, we are hungry for healing. We want to not just pray for healing and contend for healing. God, we want to see it today, God. Would you come with a miracle, Lord? Would you come and heal hearts today, God? Heal those knees. Heal the backs today, God. Heal those feet that hurt, God, that have hurt for years, God. Father, would you heal eyes that need to see better, God? Would you come, Lord, today? We want your healing, God. We're hungry. We're desperate for your healing, God. We're like the woman who exhausted. She had a list of doctors, Lord, that she'd been to. But she said, if I just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I know I'll be healed. So, Lord, we come. We're reaching. We're reaching for the hem of your garment, God. We're saying, come, Lord Jesus. Send your healing touch, God. We're desperate. We're hungry for healing. We want to see it today, God. Would you come today, God? Come into this room, Lord. Into our families and those we're contending for healing, God. We say, yes, Lord, would you come? Would you come with your healing, Lord? We're desperate for healing, Lord. We say, yes, Lord, come. Cancers be gone in Jesus' name. Fibromyalgia be gone. Diabetes be gone in Jesus' name. Heart murmurs be gone in Jesus' name. Varicose vein issues be gone in Jesus' name. Arthritis be gone in Jesus' name. We want your healing, God. We say yes, Lord. Lord, we want you to show up in the craziest places. We are hungry for God's sightings. We want to see you, God. We want more of you. We won't be satisfied, God. Keep us hungry, Lord. We want you so much more. I wrote this down today. I must know him more. In this life, I am now 60. I want to know the Lord the most I can in the most intimate way in this life before he takes me home. I want to know him the closest I possibly can before he takes me home. What are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? What will you not be satisfied till you see it, till you experience it? What are you hungry for? I want to invite you to come up. And let's agree with you, our ministry team, the healing team, prophetic team, pastors. We can pray with you. What are you hungry for? Let us agree with you and say, I want to see this. I want to experience this in God. So I invite you to come up. Give us the privilege of praying with you and agreeing with you. And if it's still that healing, come on up and we're just going to contend and keep contending. To experience God in your healing. So Lord, we thank you that you keep us hungry, God. That you don't let us get complacent. That you allow us to be hungry for you. That we won't be satisfied. We want to be so hungry, God, to hear your voice in a greater way. To experience miracles in our lives, God. In the lives of others around us, God. Supernatural provision, supernatural grace, supernatural healing, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We hunger and thirst for you, God. We hunger for you. Would you come, God? Fill us, Lord. We're hungry for you, God. Fill in the blank. I want to see God do. We're hungry, God. We're so hungry for you. Only you satisfy, Lord. Only you satisfy. The cravings of the world never satisfy, God. The cravings of the flesh never satisfy. Only you satisfy. So fill us, Lord, tonight. Fresh and anew as we hunger for you, God.